Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We were just talking about it during the break.
Twice. He said Hollywood Henderson, his former teammate?
No, no. Yeah. Just a player, an older gentleman who played for the Dallas Cowboys in the 70s.
Yeah, cool. Hit the lotto twice.
Right. Yeah, but the reason I started talking about that in the break is when we were talking Lamar Jackson and signing his new deal, it occurs to me that an athlete that's about to sign a $200 million contract, for a normal person to relate. And it's different because the athlete had to work to it, right? But if you hit a Mega Millions lottery ticket, right, it's worth $200 million.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, if you couldn't bring it in till the next day,
yeah,
the amount of thought that has to go into protecting that ticket, who do I tell?
Radio silence. Right,
but also you need to probably take a picture of it.
Nothing.
You got to prove that next to a newspaper so you know it's yours.
It's in the safe.
My point is, an athlete with that kind of money on the line, it's like, hey, should he sign the contract? Dude, I'm making sure that like I'm just healthy enough to get to the place to put my name on the contract.
Let me say this. Think about this scenario. So I may mention before about Kevin Herter, who plays for Atlanta, signed a 4-year, $100+ million extension, and he was actually quoted. He's like, you know, hearing a lot of people normalize this, like in the agent world, like you can get a little bit more. He's like, this is life changing money for me and my family. So think about that's one. He signed it quick, but then think about a guy like Dennis Schroeder, who did make good money, but didn't accept that extension to a degree, right?
$80 million for Schroeder.
He's like 80,
yeah.
And now he's playing for like 3 or 4. Like
bad deal, coach.
Whoa!
I think it's more than that, but it ain't $80 million.
Yeah, that's sick
bad,
to your
bad,
stomach.
Bad deal, coach. That's
bad.
Basically what
sick to bad, your stomach.
Bad deal, coach.
And the difference is for people listening, be like, that's so much money, even 3 or 4 million, no doubt. But an athlete is not only athletically so different than everyone else, but it's put in so much work from the cradle, basically, to get to this point. They're not just walking into money.
But the only time you push the envelope in this situation as an athlete is if you already hit big. And what I mean by hit big, let's just use basketball, for instance. Basketball players, star basketball players get on their first deal, they call it $35 million over 4 years before they get there. It's a lot of money. That's life-changing. But their shoe deal might be equal to their salary. So they're probably getting another 30 over 4, depending on who you are. So you got $65 million. So now when I get that second deal, I can kind of, you know, I can kind of wiggle with it a little bit. Hold on, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see. You can do those sort of things.
But
there's no question about it.
But that the CBA is designed, I mean, the contract structure in the NBA, for example, is designed. No one ever turns down that first max extension because it's designed to just offer you too much money to ever want to leave before year six.
Exactly.
Because then in year six, you can say, okay, next year I'll be a free agent. You might as well get something for me now.
Yeah.
But it's 6 years wherever you're drafted
player. Lamar ain't turning down the money. Lamar's turning down the structure right now. That's all that is. He wanted structure to say.
I hear you, but I agree, man. Playing that sport, especially in that style, he's going to
get his money.
With all that money on the line. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. We're going to get to real or not real, and it's Mike Tomlin related in a few minutes. Keith, you're on the inside of all this. Is Mike Tomlin going to USC?
Yes, Keith,
no,
you
he
are.
Is not going to USC. We cannot afford Mike Tomlin. What?
Just the way Max set up the question. I love it.
In related news, LeBron, there are G League teams that would love LeBron James.
No, Mike Tomlin. Look,
LeBron, are you interested in this G League team?
Coach Tomlin, why would he go from the NFL, the pinnacle, the top? He's at the mountain.
Yeah. On a great franchise.
To go to USC or any other college team. People that go from the pros to college, they're typically failed college coaches.
Right.
I mean, failed NFL coaches.
You're going to rehabilitate.
You're going to rehabilitate yourself.
Or find yourself in a lovely little situation where you're just good because they're paying you so much.
No. Because if you're at the NFL level, you're either going to win and get paid, or you're going to get fired because you're bad. Now you go to college.
No, I'm saying like Nick Saban. Like sometimes they wind up in college and they're like, they're so good in college.
Well, Nick Saban
good.
Couldn't deal with the pros because it was just like he just mentally, he didn't even give it a chance. He was like, I got to get out of here. These dudes are crazy.
Yeah. Can't do
I can't control
Saban
them.
Way. Can't build your family.
I can't control these kids.
Yes.
They make more money than me. That's not Mike Tomlin's situation. Mike Tomlin is like, I'm making, I don't know, let's just throw a number out there, $10 million a year. If I leave here, I can probably get 13 from another NFL team yesterday. So why would I go to SC for eight? That doesn't do anything for me.
You're the Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl champion, never been under 500, even when you lost your quarterback. Changed the style of play eight times, Mike Tomlin, and they're asking you about a college job.
Hey, look, I would love for him to be the head coach at USC.
Right, yeah, of course.
But it ain't going to happen, so let's stop even playing with it.
Can I ask you, have all the
coaches in the NFL? I dare someone to ask him that question again.
Out of all the coaches in the NFL, yeah. Who talks to the media better than Mike Tomlin?
Well, it depends. They're all different.
Who talks better than Mike Tomlin?
Tomlin in general.
I mean, it all depends.
Just with he won me over with that demonstrative answer, and you felt like it bothered him, which I love that he shows you the emotion
of it. But it's all relative of different coaches, right?
Okay.
Because Belichick does it his way.
Yeah, but see,
which I resonate
more with the Mike Tomlin way.
Yes, we want it like that, but I'm also accepting of Bill Belichick's way because it's been the same,
but
which is nothing.
Think of it like anything, yeah. Like this business, like the music industry, like whatever, like who's Mike Tomlin's sound bites hit the hardest. They're
1,000%.
The ones that make you feel the most. He has a way of being completely direct and you believe like thoroughly honest, right? Like he's focused on the job at hand, does not have time for your nonsense. That it moves you differently.
But Belichick didn't have time for your nonsense either.
But he doesn't move you.
But I know, well, he moves some people. This depends on how you're looking at it because to me, the sarcasm is the funniest thing ever. Because you should know better than to ask that man those questions because you're not going to get anything.
Tomlin had me at hello. Tomlin had me at Steelers football at the introductory press conference. Run the ball, stop the run. I thought, oh, my God.
So like Dan Campbell's speeches.
No, it's too much. It's too much.
You don't think that fired up the Lions fan base?
No. I think that there's no – Tomlin comes across as there's no artifice here.
You know, like Adam Gase's
I'm not
Gase's
angling here. I'm just telling you.
You know, like Adam Gase's? The eyes.
Oh, how about Joe Judge? I mean, very similar to Bill Belichick, right? But it's Bill Belichick as opposed to Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Joe Judge, I can see why some people be affected by that. For whatever reason, Tomlin – it's like a great actor even, right? Some people, they say it, and they make you believe it differently.
Bill Parcells had great press conferences. Bill's was
Parcells
classic.
Did. Yeah.
Parcells,
yeah. Parcells did. Yeah, yeah. You just hit on
classic.
One. Yeah.
I mean, it was – so everybody's a little bit different. Phil Jackson in basketball, he had different ones. I mean, it's just – everybody's a little bit different.
Since we're talking about Mike Tomlin, let's get to real or not real.
All right, guys, ready? Let's play a little real or not real. It's brought to you by Trico. Trico has been the future of wipers since 1917, keeping you a step ahead of Mother Nature. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. So we're doing this because, you know, if Mike Tomlin became available, I don't think he'd go to USC. He'd probably get another NFL head coaching job in about 5 minutes. So with these teams, real if they would fire their coach if Tomlin became available, not real if they have somebody who's equal or better. Or a better situation. The Jets.
Stop. Next question.
Real.
The Giants.
Real.
Real.
Real and real.
The Eagles.
Real.
Real. Real. Yeah.
The 49ers. Key?
Real. And the reason I say real is because it depends on what happens at the end of the season for Kyle Shanahan. But there's a relationship there, not only with Kyle Shanahan, but Mike Tomlin and John Lynch. John Lynch was coached by Mike Tomlin at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for several years. We were all there together on the staff, so I think there would be a possibility and an opportunity. Although the connection of Shanahan and John Lynch to the 49ers was lock and step, hip to hip. But in these situations, the general manager tends to win out as the head coach gets removed.
It is interesting when you start digging into Kyle Shanahan's record. And obviously always having quarterback issues with Jimmy G, even though I know there are a couple plays away from winning a Super Bowl, how this Trey Lance thing works out. But I would still go Mike Tomlin.
Cutthroat business, man.
Still go Mike Tomlin.
Like you now and don't like you tomorrow.
I mean, Key's explanation for why it would be real in San Francisco sounds right to me.
Max, this one's for you.
Yeah.
Patriots.
it's not real because Bill Belichick, the sample size is too small to start dismissing what he's done. I will say this. The fact of the matter is He's in close games. He's coaching well and everything. They are now how many games under 500 since Brady left? Five games? Tomlin's never been under 500 ever. Ever.
Not real, man.
Can I say real? Maybe just because I've been watching Succession a lot lately, the first two episodes. Like, who takes that franchise to the next level after Bill retires?
There's a couple reasons it's not real. Need I say anymore?
I hear you.
Five more titles than Tomlin? Is that it, Key?
No, we don't need Key to go into it.
It's titles. I have beaten you many times over.
Not without
and
Brady.
It is New England.
Let me ask this question. If Bill Belichick retired,
yes,
would Mike Tomlin consider New England
if he
needed a fresh start?
Why would Mike Tomlin want to leave Pittsburgh?
Not real.
Okay. I would say not real on that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the all-time brands in sports.
Not real, Max. We're moving on.
Cowboys. Real or not real? Are you moving on from Mike McCarthy if Tomlin's available?
Real.
Not real.
Why? Because of Kellen Moore?
Because of Kellen Moore.
Uh-huh. I could see that.
If Mike McCarthy fails the Cowboys miserably this year, they'll probably hire Kellen Moore.
See, if I own the Cowboys, it would be so... The word is delicious, right? To take the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach away from them. Oh, if I own the Cowboys, I'd do it. But I hear you. No, Kellen Moore, as Rex keeps saying, they want to keep him in the building.
Jay?
I would probably agree with Key and Max.
Packers, real or not real, to keep the caveat is you guarantee keeping Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, real if they were going to lose Rodgers. Yeah.
Not real. You're not going to give Aaron Rodgers that much power when you got a head coach that, you know, has gone to two NFC championship games. I don't know the way the year would end. I'm assuming it's going to end great for them. I don't think that you fire LaFleur to add Mike Tomlin just to keep Aaron Rodgers for 2 years.
Well, I mean, if it's
too much power.
If it's LaFleur and Jordan Love versus Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers, done. Tomlin and Rodgers.
I'm with you all day long.
Yeah, all day long.
They should actually let Jordan Love go before the trade deadline if they really want to commit themselves to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, hang on, Jay. We have a caller who wants to ask that exact question. We'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But real or not real, would these NFL teams fire their coach if Mike Tomlin became available tomorrow? The Los Angeles Rams.
No, not real.
How about the Chargers? Los Angeles Chargers?
Not real.
Not real because they want to see what they have there first, I would
say.
Too
early.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Real.
Probably
real.
Not real. Because the Colts are, it depends. Okay, so if they end miserably and don't go to the playoffs and Mike Tomlin's available, they might fire Frank Reich in that case.
Who's a better coach, Frank Reich or Mike Tomlin?
But there's a difference between what would we do, like what would I do if I own the team? Mike Tomlin is very, very, very high on my list. It's not real. Like, first of all, none of this is real, right? He's not. but if Mike Tomlin was available, would Indy fire their coach? I'd say not real. If I own the Colts,
it's real.
They did give up a lot to get Frank Reich his coach.
Yep,
his quarterback, and you don't know if Tomlin would want Wentz, and then you got to start over.
But apparently Tomlin doesn't need a quarterback. He won 8 games without a quarterback. 8 games.
All right, one more. Staying in that division. Jaguars. You're firing Urban Meyer if Tomlin becomes
Yeah, but Mike Tomlin doesn't want to be down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, not real. Even if I was the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm not firing Urban Meyer just to hire Mike Tomlin because I'm in the same situation. We're a bad football team.
Yesterday. I do that yesterday, Evan. Yeah. I get rid of Urban Meyer and bring in Mike Tomlin yesterday. And I can keep my first round draft pick yesterday.
We're such a bad team. There's no way.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't do it. All of this is just made up. But
no,
if
I'm not
he
saying
would,
him. Shaq Khan, I would
wouldn't
do, that
do it as an owner. We're bad.
But you won't be bad with Tomlin. That's the point. He will have you competing.
With that team?
Yes.
Then you actually give him some autonomy. Like, hey, who should we draft? What do you think? 1,000%, Max. We're in the same
page. Not going to – all the, like, the shenanigans, all the things that people are already sick of with Urban Meyer, none of that stuff. All you have is a team competing every week trying to get better.
I want to throw in a bonus one.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll. We talked about Pete Carroll earlier in the show. Mina Kimes said maybe – yesterday on First Take, maybe it's time to consider a change in Seattle. Would you fire Pete Carroll if you could get Mike Tomlin?
I probably would.
I would sit down with Russell Wilson and get his opinion on it.
I'll probably say it's real for me.
But I think that would be real.
I think Pete Carroll is a championship coach on multiple levels. Do I prefer Mike Tomlin? Yes, but I'm with Jay. I'd have to talk to Russell Wilson and see what he thought. And if Russell Wilson was like, no, let's keep Pete, I wouldn't do it.
I can't give Russell Wilson that type of power.
Why?
I just can't.
Special quarterbacks, NBA stars nowadays.
Doesn't mean you have to give him the power. You can still take his opinion on it and factor that in.
I'll do it for you. I'll do it so that he can tell you. I talk to him and he can look good on television. But no, he's not convincing me what to do with my head coach.
What I mean is I prefer Mike Tomlin over Pete Carroll. Mike Tomlin is my – like if I played football, I think I'd want to play for Mike Tomlin, right? So he's my favorite guy that way. So, but preferring one guy to another is not the same thing as saying – I'd get rid of that guy.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin is one of the top 3 to 4 head coaches in the National Football League from X and O standpoint to personality to all of those things. There's no question about it. But you have to think practical as a owner of a team. There's certain things you just don't do.
And Tomlin also is flexible enough. The way Belichick's like, oh, you never face the same team in consecutive weeks. When Tomlin took over the team, they wanted to get to run the ball, stop the run. There were years where they didn't have an offensive line. There were years where they just had to be defensive. There were years where they're playing, with 5 wide. Whatever they were doing, they keep changing it up. But the common denominator is they win.
Yeah, no, they win. I want to hear what some of these people got to say, though.
All right, who do we got?
Fan base calling in about – whether or not
on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, would you fire your coach if Mike Tomlin became available? Michael in Louisiana?
Actually, good morning, guys.
I have a
speculation. I believe that Green Bay is going to win tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be a blowout because of Aaron Rodgers and the way a short week or whatever because he's 6-0 without Devontae Adams. But with that being said, if Green Bay goes out and wins tomorrow night, do you see Green Bay moving on from Jordan Love to keep Aaron Rodgers in the future?
Michael, I would do that. I think I would show Aaron Rodgers how committed we are to him by removing Jordan Love, seeing what we can get in return. I think that speaks volumes to Aaron Rodgers. I'm a risk-averse person. That's very risky. But I show Rodgers that we're all in. I would.
Key, you want to take it? Or you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say this.
I don't need to answer
when
it.
You draft a quarterback in the first round, when you've just been to an NFC championship game, and you're knocking on the door, and you use the 15th pick in the draft, right, on Jordan Love, you have to think he's going to the Hall of Fame one day. Or why would you do that then, right? So if they already are resigned to the fact that we missed on this one, maybe he's a good quarterback, but he ain't the next Aaron Rodgers, then, yeah, if that meant I could keep Rodgers or even increase my chances of keeping him, I'm getting rid of him.
Yeah, they could keep Rodgers regardless, though. They can keep him regardless. If they
26,
keep,
Jordan Love?
You know, Jordan Love would.
Oh, about? That's right. Because Rodgers was what, 23rd? And Love was right drafted around where Rodgers was
late
drafted.
Late first round.
Yeah, 26. Uh-huh. I said 15.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I have 15 stuck in my head.
Jordan Love is a backup quarterback in the National Football League. And Aaron Rodgers is a star. And Aaron Rodgers takes his team to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. Jordan Love is not a threat to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers sees Jordan Love every single day in the building. He already knows that guy is.
But I feel like
that's
more,
an interesting point.
Yeah, interesting point. But I also would like Aaron Rodgers to understand that, hey, we made a mistake. And we're owning that mistake, and now we're removing that mistake.
I think that's but right.
He's not a threat to me, so you don't have to remove
it. It's not about him being a threat to you or not.
I like the kid.
It's about me telling you this happened on my watch, and I'm changing course.
I think Rodgers does want to see the organization show the same humility that they ask for from the players all the time. Like, just look, show some humility. We messed up. We're sorry. It's your team, et cetera.
But moving on from Jordan Love is not showing him anything.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Emmanuel in Nevada, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Emmanuel?
Yeah, and can you guys hear me?
We got you.
We got you, man.
Hey, so I want to say if Mike Tomlin, he should go to the Raiders. Not only would it make the division a lot better if two things happen. He goes to the Raiders and the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers, okay? If that don't happen, I would like the Raiders to pursue Marvin Lewis as a candidate for a head coaching job. So what do you guys think about that?
And Mike Tomlin ain't going to the Raiders, and I understand he would be a great coach there if, in fact, that was the case. But I don't think Mike Tomlin would want to coach the Raiders when he has the Pittsburgh Steelers. And on top of that, Rich Bisacci is doing a hell of a job, and he potentially could become the head coach long-term for the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers going to Denver, we'll see how that goes. As far as Marvin Lewis goes, I don't think the Raiders are going to go down that avenue, but he'll certainly get some opportunities to interview this year for sure.
The same way I said, like, Mike Tomlin, like, is inspirational when you hear him talk. I don't put Marvin Lewis in that. I feel the opposite about Marvin Lewis. He may be a competent head coach, but he doesn't move me, you know? And I think...
No, he's got a different style.
But the Raiders fan base, I think, wants to be... If they like people like Bisaccia and everything, that was a big move to get Gruden, at least big splashy move. I don't think Marvin Lewis is going to move people. I think Mike Tomlin moves people.
Are you trying to say that Marv walks in the building and be like, well...
I mean, did you see the Hard Knocks with him? It's like, oh, okay. All right, I guess so. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. But listen, Marvin Lewis did do plenty of winning. Tune in. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The lefty who was the, I would say, well, on one of the greatest pitching staffs of all time for sure, starting staffs along with Greg Maddux and John Smoltz, and at different times Steve Avery or Denny Nagel, the great Tom Glavine, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
My pleasure. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
Doing great.
What'd you make of Charlie Morton staying in the game last night, even after suffering a fractured fibula in his right leg?
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you, right? I think that watching it and seeing it happen live, I thought, oh, that probably hurt a little bit. I've had a few of those in my career, but, you know, he covered first base, seemed to be fine, you know, only to go back out there and then obviously have the problem. So, I mean, I guess that's sometimes you don't really get a sense for how hard a ball is hit on TV or potentially how square maybe it caught you more so than you can see on TV. But, you know, look, I give Charlie credit for trying to go back out there. Obviously, it's unfortunate. I feel awful for him that he's going to be out of the series. Certainly a big blow for the Braves, but, you know, they certainly got off to a good start.
Tom, you know, clearly you played in Major League Baseball. You were drafted in Hall of Fame career and whatnot. But many people out there, for those that don't know, you were also taken in the fourth round in the NHL. Between baseball and on the ice, what's the toughest thing you've seen that somebody continued to play after occurring?
Oh, man. You know, I think hockey players have a little bit more of a reputation for being a little bit crazy in terms of when going back out there for injuries. You know, and I think because so many of us have watched hockey games and you see a guy, you know, get cut, whether it be from a puck or a skate or a stick, and they're bleeding all over the place. And then 10, 15 minutes later, they're stitched up and they're back on the ice. And, you know, that's a hockey mentality. Now, that's not to say that you know, guys in every other sport don't do the same thing, right? I obviously playing football, you know, guys are banged up, you know, there's stuff going on. They continue to play through, you know, baseball is the same way. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, going out there and getting cut from a puck in the face or something is, or having your teeth knocked out is, you know, worse or any less worse than some other things that I went through as a baseball player. But I can tell you, you know, there are more than a few times that I went out there on the mound, and my arm didn't feel so great. You know I pitched a little bit one year with a broken rib, which wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do. So I think it's just inherent, right, with athletes. When you think you can still go out there and play, you're going to try and do it. And it's only when your body tells you, I can't do this anymore, that we acquiesce. Wait. But it's not easy to get us to acquiesce. Tom, we want to push the limits and keep going.
I'm so sorry for cutting you off there, but did you just say that you how long did you pitch with a broken rib?
And how did you break it? How does that happen?
It wasn't the smartest thing I ever did. I can assure you of that. I had a situation where I had food poisoning and I was, you know, not feeling great. And obviously, and had a lot of vomiting for about 24 hours. And then my next start, 5 days later, my last pitch in the bullpen, I let it go and I felt something in my side pop a little bit. And I was like, oh, that didn't feel so good. And so, you know, I kind of pitched with it that night because it was, I think the adrenaline was enough that I got through it. But, you know, next day didn't feel so good. And, you know, I had, maybe a Novocaine shot here or there, maybe to dull the pain for a couple of starts. But like I said, it wasn't the probably wasn't the smartest thing I ever did looking back on my career.
Wow. Yes. Got a lot of props for me on top of everything else you accomplished.
K's.
I do want to ask you, how concerned are you for the game of baseball that this game lasted 4 hours and 6 minutes while 11 pitchers were used?
You know, it's concerning, and it's been, you know, to be truthful, it's been a concern ever since I can remember. I remember when I was early in my career, like in the early 90s, it was a constant talk or topic of conversation. How do we speed up the game? Batters stay in the batter's box. We have a pitch, you know, we have a pitch clock. We have, you know, all these things that we've tried to do, and, you know, nothing has worked. And, you know, part of the problem, as you say, is the pitching changes. I do like the rule, that opposing pitchers now have to face a minimum of three batters when they come out of the bullpen. But, you know, when you're changing pitchers, what'd you say, 11 pitching changes last night?
Yes.
I don't care what you do to try to speed up the game. That slows the game down. I know it's different now, but because there are so many changes. But, you know, even some of the games that I would broadcast for the Braves from time to time, it seemed like you would get to the seventh inning in a decent amount of time, and then inevitably the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings were going to take an hour and a half every night just because of the pitching changes. And it's a dilemma for baseball, you know, because it's a great game at heart. There's a ton of strategy that's involved, but it's slow. And, you know, with today's audience, slow is not a good thing. And I think it's the kind of thing they're going to have to continue to tweak. Look, I know there's been a lot of talk of, and there's good data to back it up. You know, they used the pitch clock in one of the minor leagues this year, and they cut like 25, 30 minutes off of game time. So, you know, that might be, I know, you know, Commissioner Manfred's always kind of tinkering with rules at the minor league level to see how they play out. I'll be interested to see if that is a big point of discussion this year in the winter meetings and to see how they can implement that at the big league level.
Talking to Hall of Famer Tom Glavin, part of, you could argue, the greatest starting staff of all time when those guys stuck together for so long, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin, John Smoltz. I mean, good luck finding a better one. But, Tom, you mentioned here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, you mentioned that you can get through the first seven pretty quickly and then all these pitching changes. Tom, no one throws 200 innings anymore. Like, game one of the World Series, a guy threw 185 innings is facing a guy through 130-something innings. And, you know, five and dive nowadays, like, oh, okay, pretty good start, right? Like, isn't that also contributing to the length of games? The pitching changes, the starters aren't doing what they used to do.
Well, no, they're not. And look, I 100% agree with you. Those are the parts of the game today that I, as a former player, but also as a fan now, I have a hard time liking, and I have a hard time accepting, right? Now, I'll say this. I know that my generation, you know, you look at my generation, yeah, we made 35, 36 starts a year. You know, we pitched 220, 250 innings a year.
Some of you did, yeah.
And by our standards, that was good. Now, the generation before us thought we were soft.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you get the guys like Nolan Ryan and Nuxie and those guys that were making 40-something starts a year, pitching 300-something innings
Mickey
a year.
Lulich, yeah.
You know, they thought we were soft, right? And my counter to that is that what I did was what I was brought up on. I was brought up on a 5-man rotation. It was instilled into you that you got as deep into the game as you could. But then, you know, we started with the setup man, right? Just get it to the eighth inning. We'll give it to the setup guy, and then we'll give it to the closer. So that kind of became the standard. If you could get past that, great. But at a minimum, you're turning the ball over with six outs to go for your bullpen. And the pitch count became part of the equation, right? Mm-hmm. Now you fast forward a few years after. Now to my generation, yeah, these guys look soft, right? They're only pitching, you know, 5 innings a night. Nobody's going 200 innings anymore. Guys are making 25 or 27 starts a year in a good year. And you're like, what the heck? But I don't blame it all on them. You know, they are brought up because of the money that's invested in so many of these guys now when they get drafted. They're coddled into minor leagues. They're put on very strict pitch counts in the minor leagues. They're put on very strict innings counts, not only in the minor leagues, but once they get to the big leagues. But more than anything else, in this day and age of analytics, these guys are being told they can't pitch deep into a game. They can't flip a lineup for a third time. They can't, you know, face that guy for the third time in the sixth inning. And it's like, well, the more you tell these guys they can't do something,
yeah.
Well, of course they're not going to do it. And I think that's a big part of the problem is organizations have gone so heavy on the analytics that they say, well, you know, you flipped the lineup twice, you got through the fifth inning. Hey, that's great. Great mm-hmm. job. And now these guys are accepting that 5 innings is a great job. Yeah. And like I said, it's I don't think it's any fault of their own.
Yeah.
It's just the way the game has gone, but I and apparently an awful lot of people, because, you know, I've done a number of radio shows over the course of the last 5 or 6 days, obviously, and I haven't talked to anybody that likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, the game has changed. You know, the most efficient way to play the game is apparently, or effective, is not the most consumer friendly. Tom, we got to pay some bills. That is the great Tom Glavine on the Goodyear hotline. Keyshawn, Jay, thank you, Tom. I appreciate
Tom.
You jumping
Tom.
On with us.
All right, guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
This is for you, Mama Will. We're coming back. Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But I got to give a big shout out to my mom. Big birthday today, October 27th. She's been through the gauntlet over the last several years. She is here and thriving, fighting each and every day. Inspiration of my life with my dad. And just want to say happy birthday, Althea Bowman Williams. Holding it down. Holding down the fort.
Happy birthday, Mama Williams.
Mama Will, we love you. I love you, boo-boo.
You know, you just made it difficult for me, Jay. My mom's birthday's in 2 days.
Okay, happy birthday.
I'm going to forget it.
No,
No. It's Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah,
Don't worry, Max. I'll write it on the screen.
All right, thank you.
I'll write it on the screen.
Evan knows if it's not on the screen, I'm not going to remember.
Your mom did well, David. She really did. You're a good dude.
Jason David. That is JD. You can call me JD.
JD.
Hey, man, but you know what? Like, you know, you have those times, man, where your parents believe in you when you never thought you could do something. Obviously, getting drafted. Key, I know you felt that too. You look back on things like I'll get you anything you want. Like, you know, we're in this together. That's always what family means to me.
Yeah, it's not even the drafted part, I'm sure. It's about you going to one of the most prestigious universities ever created and going to Duke. That's in itself is impressive. Even though you were an athlete, that's impressive to me. I look at that and I'm like, okay, you had a little bit of brains and get to Duke, and ain't just hoops. So
first time I heard you compliment Duke. Okay, I appreciate that.
Well, Duke is a good school.
Yes.
Not that my kids would ever go there. But
there's always got to be a butt.
There's a slight. There it is. Now we're back to normal, Keyshawn.
See how I set that up nice and easy?
Build up just to drop you off.
Yeah, I mean, every parent whose like kid is excelling in one sport or another, I'm sure has thoughts and dreams, but how many actually make it to the level that you did? You're doesn't matter how much you believe in your kid. When you actually do it, your mom must have been like, "Look what I made."
At home or at the draft?
No, I was actually at the draft. We all went to the draft.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure you see it too, though, Key. Like you talk about your son being an AAU ball. Like I see it. My daughter, Grant, she's three. Like when she goes to soccer class, I'm like, oh, they ain't. A lot of good athletes out here. Uh-uh. So when you happen to see that one, you're like, ooh, that's special.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you see special. Like my kids running around. You're like, yeah, there aren't a lot of good athletes.
Some of the guys, you know, he's playing flag football right now, but some of the dudes he's playing flag with, I'm like, yeah, wrong DNA.
Yeah, you could see it. You could catch it early, in other words. Yeah, you could see it early.
Yeah, more like Evan's cousins or something
Arts
like that.
Arts and crafts might be better for you.
Yeah but you actually, don't want to be mean, but...
Hey,
but
science and math go a long way.
You both are extreme outliers. Most people with their kids, they just want them like have a good time.
Oh, it's hard.
Burn
hell,
some
man.
Energy. Yeah. Learn teamwork. That kind of
it's
stuff.
It's hard. Yeah. It's from a parent standpoint, it's a lot of sacrifice for parents, especially in this day and age, to get their kids to compete at a high level. No, I mean high level. I'm even talking about high school.
Yeah.
Because it's so much, especially when you got multiple kids. You got to take the one over here. Well, another one's at 2 o'clock. You got to go over here. Who's going to go? Well, I want daddy to watch me. And, my, you know, it's just all, you got all that chaotic. Then you got homework. Then on top of the homework, if they want to excel in it, they've got to practice it. So that sometimes they might get 4 and 5 hours of sleep.
See, yep. Key, I'm not even there yet. Like, my daughter is not even doing all that stuff yet. And every weekend, I had like 10 AAU games, different trips. I'm tired when I get to the weekend now as a parent.
Yeah.
I want to relax. I'm not at the point where I'm taking my daughter to games.
5 years from now, Jay, you're going to be walking around the arena.
What you realize?
I'm already walking around like that, so I might be in a wheelchair by then.
What you realize when you have kids is there's no such thing as vacations anymore. They're just trips.
Yes,
they're not vacation. There's no vacation. You just take a trip somewhere, but you're still working. You're always working. That's part of being a parent, man. You know, that's how it goes. And there's not enough time in the day. It's amazing that kids who really excel at the highest level of sports. It's amazing. There's so much. There's not enough time in the day. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by DraftKings. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use code KJM to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So now, because I was rushed to do that, we have an awkward... 30 seconds
left.
Well,
we weren't really rushed to do it. We just want to get to the billboard.
Why'd you feel pressured?
Because
Key pointed.
Key is pointing over there. I trust my teammates.
If I don't direct this dude, oh, man, it'd be a 10-minute whole
Sometimes.
You know,
we got a producer and
sometimes.
Talent.
Sometimes.
We got to bring
no shame in my game.
We got to do him like this,
Jay.
Bring him in.
This dude talking about bringing someone
exactly.
in.
Bring him
the
in.
The nerve.
You play too much,
KJ Will. Greeny next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.